us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it may have been foolish for me to choose this passage to preach on, because in a certain sense it puts me out of a job. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. Uh-oh. In fact, if you look closely, I should already be out of a job, technically, because Jeremiah is saying that this universal knowledge of God would come as a result of God establishing a new covenant with God's people, which we as Christians believe already happened with Jesus, so I guess I'll just see myself out. In all seriousness, though, this passage should make us think, right? What exactly is going on here? Was Jeremiah wrong? Are we wrong? Has the time not yet come, or has it, but some of us just missed the boat on the whole knowing God thing? So let's talk about it. But before we do, I think now might be the most appropriate time to remind you that there are some things that I and other ministers are experts on. And there are some things that we don't know any better than anybody else. And let's be honest with ourselves, we're not always the best at being totally honest about what falls into which category. It's true that I know a lot about the Bible and its history and interpretation. I know how to write sermons. I know how to put together services. I know how to accompany people in a variety of life circumstances. But what I don't know is how God speaks to you. I don't know the perspective on God that you have because your life and your experiences are different than mine. I don't always know what course of action is best in every situation. And in those respects, which I think are at least equally important to the things I do know how to do, I don't have anything more figured out than anybody else. God works in mysterious ways. The Spirit flows where it will, and we're all just along for the ride. There's a debate that's been going on in the medical field for a long time, maybe a decade plus or so, and that's on where exactly the expertise of a doctor ends and the expertise of a patient about themselves begins. Because education and degrees aside, there are things doctors know and the average Joe doesn't know, and there are things people know about themselves that a doctor doesn't. A doctor, for example, can't tell you when it's right for you to seek aggressive treatment for a disease or to extend quantity of life, or when it's time to focus on comfort and quality of life. A doctor can't feel exactly what you feel any more than you could do surgery on yourself, or know exactly how much of what kind of medication to take. And I think that the church is having its own similar kind of debate. Different traditions and denominations have their own viewpoints. Some see clergy as a kind of gatekeeper to salvation. You need one of us to baptize you. You need one of us to give you communion. You need one of us to hear your confession and pronounce God's forgiveness to you. And then there are some denominations that see clergy as kind of salvation lawyers. Like, it's best not to navigate life and death without our expert advice, because there's some fine print you might be missing otherwise. But hey, you want to represent yourself? Good luck, buddy. Devil's one tough prosecutor, though. But I don't think that either of those exactly gets it, or is exactly right. To put it as simply as possible, we, all of us, you and me, we're here to do life and faith together. And that's a little easier when somebody has the job of keeping things organized and running, when somebody has the job of knowing the history of our faith and keeping the story alive, when someone has the job of listening and making space for people to share their own lives and stories and of speaking about God, which speaking about God is a world away from speaking for God. A bit on that, because we've had some news in the past week or so. Recently, Pope Francis, maybe you've heard of him, he made a declaration that the Catholic Church cannot now or ever bless gay unions, which is pretty ironic given the percentage of gay men that join the priesthood precisely because it provided a convenient closet for them to hide in, but I digress. I know there are a lot of people, both practicing and former Catholics, that were deeply disappointed by this. Many people thought that if any pope was ever going to change things, it would be Pope Francis. But here we are, and here we're going to be for who knows how much longer. My point in bringing this up, which I hesitate to do because frankly, I don't like criticizing institutions I'm not a part of when there is so much to criticize about the ones I'm in. United Methodist Church has done absolutely 0% better on this than the Catholic Church has. We all know that. But I do bring it up to say that Pope Francis doesn't speak for God. Neither does any bishop or any pastor. Even the prophets of old stayed vigilant and they policed their own proclamations to make sure they were speaking God's will and not their own, because it's not always easy to know the difference. If you know the love and grace and forgiveness of God, if you know the path God has placed you on, and if you feel God's loving spirit in you, and if you respond in faith and love and service, then who is anybody else to tell you you're wrong? Now, people in authority don't like to say that. It can cause chaos and division, which translates to a chipping away of authority. Do you think I always want to give you permission to disagree with me? No. I would love to say, sit down, shut up, I have a divinity degree and you don't, I'm the master and you're not. Not because I believe those things matter, but because power is always a real temptation. And because, my goodness, who wants to be disagreed with, especially when the person disagreeing with you makes donations that pay your salary? But I can't do that. Quite simply because I believe to do so would be a sin. I will do nothing that hinders you from grabbing hold of the power of God for yourself. I will do nothing that blocks you from hearing the still small voice of God with your own ears. I won't spoon feed you God as interpreted by Leah, because to do so would be to disempower you from discovering God for yourself. And to do that would be to actively do you harm. I would put it to you that what Jeremiah tells us in this passage is true. Full stop. God has written on our hearts, all of us, from least to greatest, whatever that means. And whatever it does mean, I promise you I'm closer to the least end than the greatest end. Because we've all been forgiven. God holds nothing against any of us. We are purely beloved, purely known, purely connected to God and God's people everywhere. And the only thing that's holding us back is our refusal to see that. Because God, in infinite wisdom, has given us the freedom to sit with our ears plugged and our eyes closed. We have the freedom to wait for a coming day that has, in fact, already come. Don't let anybody, myself included, make you feel like you need somebody else to know God, because you're not capable of doing it yourself. And may God forgive us, ministers, for the times we get in the way. Great.